My name is Reagan Noland, and the topic of this discussion is emergency forages in southern Minnesota. Just to jump right in, what we'll be talking about in short, I'm going to cover some background regarding our interest in this research, our research objectives, methods, and design, some preliminary results from this year, and a little bit of discussion. So alfalfa is the most important perennial forage crop in the Midwest. It has great economic and environmental significance across that area. A lot of dairies and more exported horse hay than I had realized before moving up there. And then the obvious nitrogen contribution back to the system being the legume, and the ecosystem services would include soil security and improving water quality. Being a perennial crop and in such a northern climate, it is subject to winter kill. This is an issue that we've seen approximately every 2 to 5 years, 2 out of 5 years for the past couple decades, apparently. I just moved to Minnesota from Texas, so I haven't seen this myself yet, but I've been told that it's a bad thing. Y'all may have heard last year we had the polar vortex come down. They're calling for another one of those. I don't think it's supposed to be as severe. But right there around southern Minnesota, you can see temperatures in the negative 40s. That can do some very severe damage. This shows air and soil temperatures at one of our research stations at Waseca, where this took place. And you can see the soil temperature dipping below the critical threshold of 5 degrees in a couple places. Same with the snow cover here. Losing snow cover later in February and still having extremely cold conditions can end up causing alfalfa to break dormancy and then kill it. So challenges that we're facing and addressing here are a shortage in quality feed, increasing environmental variability. And so our goal is to identify annual forages to fill this gap. Our research objectives are to evaluate 8 warm season forage options, no-till seeded into winter-killed alfalfa, as affected by nitrogen management and cutting management, and to determine nitrogen contribution to the emergency crop yields from the alfalfa in credits. We used a randomized complete block design with 4 replications and a split plot arrangement. And I'll go into greater detail on these input variables, but these are at 2 locations in southern Minnesota, in Rosemont and in Waseca. Today I will just be presenting the northern one there near the cities from Rosemont. Again, our main plot was the 8 warm season grasses. Split plot is the 3 fertility management plans, which was 0, 56, and 112 kilograms per hectare, applied in the form of urea. And our response variables are biomass and nutritive status. And this was analyzed in SAS using mixed models. These are the grasses that we chose: annual ryegrass, Italian ryegrass, teff, Japanese millet, Sudan grass, sorghum Sudan grass, brown midrib sorghum, and a red clover annual ryegrass biculture. Some quick visuals of what these look like. Just to give you an idea of what our study looked like as well. These were planted in early June with a Truax no-till drill. Fertility was applied at planting. And these were cut every 30 days following planting for 3 cutting intervals throughout the summer. And our results, this is average yield across all cutting events. We had very positive effects in crop variety and nitrogen rate with no interaction between the two. So this is a broad kind of summary of our yields. teff being the highest yielding with annual ryegrass and the ryegrass and red clover biculture. Slightly better than the rest. I'll get into a little bit more detail about the dynamics of our yields, but this is kind of the overall outcome from the year. Nitrogen rate had a very nice and obvious effect on yields throughout the year as well. Please note, as some of these graphs, I'm trying to point them out, the y-axis doesn't start at zero. It's zoomed in to a range from 7,000 to 10,000 just to emphasize this change. Now, across the three cutting events, we didn't use time necessarily as a factor as much as we did. We chose the cutting schedule that we did to maximize yield and quality. And so I'm looking at yield and quality at each time and then averaged or totaled over time. But as you can see from a significance table, again, crop and nitrogen rate had a great effect. In the first two cuttings, the in-rate effect dropped out in the second or the third cutting. And I'll try to keep these as simple as possible. The y-axis, again, is yield in dry matter kilograms per hectare. These are grouped by nitrogen rate, as you can see across the x-axis, and the mean separations occurred within those groupings. So this makes more sense. Teff being the far right is, you can see the nitrogen response from one to the next. And then the blue bar immediately next to it was Sudan grass, which started off really well as far as yields go. At the second cutting, we had the annual ryegrass and the annual ryegrass and red clover mixture yielding the greatest. And again, across the three fertility rates. And then at the third cutting, the Japanese millet really came through and put on more late season growth than expected and much more than the rest. Still not really helping it contend for a spot in the totals, but was an interesting effect. The nutritive value in protein, these values are weighted by yield, or I guess mean weighted, or a weighted mean is the correct way to word that. But protein was affected in crop and nitrogen rate across the whole year. And so here's species by crude protein. Relatively high for grass hay or forage, whatever we want to use this for. Italian ryegrass was typically the lowest yielding crop. It had the greatest crude protein. Also had the greatest digestible NDF, which I'll show in a minute. So that's kind of one of those inverse relationships we heard a little bit in the last talk or two talks ago about balancing yield and quality. And that's one to consider. But, and then crude protein effect over across nitrogen rates. Again, even at the lowest nitrogen rate, we're at 10% crude protein, which we would like to attribute to the in credits from the alfalfa. There was time zero soil testing done and soil testing throughout the year. That data has not completely been analyzed to confirm this, but a great interest would follow in how to use any residual nitrogen and how much that plays into the yield of these crops and quality. The neutral detergent fiber, this is a digestible 48-hour measurement as well, was only significant according to the crop effect. The nitrogen rate had no effect on that. And again, the Italian ryegrass yielded the greatest, returned the greatest, neutral detergent fiber, and the Japanese millet, teff, and Sudan grass, which were better yielding, were all amongst the lower end of quality. In conclusion, our species effects occurred consistently in all response variables. These are all different grasses physiologically and in quality and yield. As far as yield performance goes, the three I had mentioned earlier, teff, annual ryegrass, and red clover and ryegrass, produced the greatest average biomass. And regarding nutritive status, Italian ryegrass was among the highest in both crude protein and NDF. The Sudan grass, sorghum Sudan grass, the brown midrib sorghum, and the teff were all amongst the lowest in the crude protein. And in the nitrogen effect on crude protein, which I showed a couple graphs back, was Japanese millet, teff, and Sudan grass were all amongst the lowest, falling again to Italian ryegrass. In the future, this is our other location in Waseca. We had a really, really bad problem with weeds and establishment, but the teff, which is that treatment kind of up the center, the fine grass, has remarkable weed suppressive ability, and we'd really like to dig into that. I've got a lot of weed separation data from really painful harvests at this site that we haven't processed yet, but that's kind of an exciting note to look forward to. Immediately to the right of it was a ryegrass treatment, which you can see is basically 100% weeds. And with that, I'd like to take any questions.
Crop at the site that you conducted?
Oh, alfalfa. So,
go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was there more to the question?
Well, did you terminate the stand, or was it winter kill?
Yes, sir. So the question is what the previous crop was and how it was handled. And so we simulated winter kill alfalfa by spraying and then planting directly into that alfalfa residue.
So quick follow-up.
Okay.
Did you expect a nitrogen response, or were you surprised by it, given that alfalfa was the previous crop?
The question is whether we expected a nitrogen response, and in some grasses we expected it. I didn't expect it to be as significant as it was across the board. In grasses like teff, had an extreme, perfectly defined nitrogen curve, or response curve, at all times. Other crops varied a lot more. And so I think that the residual nitrogen from the alfalfa definitely have offset any response we would have seen otherwise. Yes, sir.
In the ryegrass red clover, was the red clover any factor in that yield?
The question was whether the red clover in the ryegrass red clover biculture contributed much or factored into our analysis. And not much until later in the season. I would say the earlier cuttings, if we were to do a separation or an assessment of percentages, there was very little. The red clover emerged but didn't grow as quickly as the ryegrass. As the season progressed, with the second and then the third cuttings, there was definitely a considerable amount of red clover in that treatment. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
all right. Thank you.